been talking about this subject, listening to Brother Hagin on the Love Walk for a week or two now. Just keeps stirring in us. And it's something I believe maybe we haven't emphasized. We emphasize it, but maybe we haven't emphasized it enough. Because to be honest with you, the Bible said, remember in John 13:34, you know, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Jesus said that. So this is the commandment of the New Testament. I mean, if it is the New Testament commandment, how many of you know we ought to spend some time on it, you know? The love of God. The new commandment I give unto you, John 13:34, that you love one another. Love one another. And then he said, here's the standard of that love for one another. He said that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. Amen. That's the standard. Amen. Well, praise God, I can't do that, Pastor. I can't love like God loves. Well, in your own humanness, no, you can't. But see, when you got born again, Romans 5:5 says the love of God was shed abroad in your heart. Amen. But not the love of the best saint that ever lived, but the love of God. Amen. That's the kind of love that he loved us with. That came into us at the new birth. And that's why it says in 1 John, I don't know if we'll get to Romans 13 this morning or not. But we'll just circle the airport. But you remember 1 John 3:18, I believe it is, if I'm remembering correctly. It says, we know that we've passed from death unto life. He's not talking about physical death. Most of us were never physically dead. He's talking about a kind of spiritual passing from death unto life. The old man was crucified with Christ. He died. That old nature, that old sinful nature in our spirit, that man was crucified with Christ. And that old man, we passed out of spiritual death. That old man was spiritually dead. We passed out of death. We know we have passed from death unto life. Spiritual life. We've been born again. The life of God, when we were born again, came into our human spirit. Yes. Yeah. That's the reason why so many people out there in the world have trouble loving. Because they're not born again.
Yeah.
If they'd get born again, then the love of God would be shed abroad in their heart. Right. According to Romans 5:5.
Yeah.
When we got born again, the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
See, when we got born again, the Holy Spirit came into our spirit, recreated our spirit, made us a brand new creation in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, including that old nature of hate. Amen. The Bible said in 1 John 2, if a man doesn't love his brother, he doesn't know God. And actually, he said, if a man hates his brother. Hates his brother.
That's right.
There's a lot of people hating other groups, hating other whatever, you know, backgrounds and, you know, all kinds of hate. That's not God. It's not the spirit of God. We have nothing to do with it. That's the spirit of the world out there. Man hates his brother, he's a murderer, the Bible says. If a man doesn't love his brother, he doesn't know God. Why? Because if a man's really truly born again, the love of God's been shed abroad in his heart. And we know we have passed from death unto life.
Yeah.
How do you know it? There's something that shows up.
Yes, sir.
Because we love the brethren.
Yes.
Glory.
Come on.
This is where victory is. I'm just going to stick with it.
Yes.
Remember Galatians 5:22. It says when we were born again, it says the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit. Very first thing he mentioned, what is it that shows up?
Love.
Yes, sir. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so forth and so on. That's the fruit of the born-again human spirit. It's the very first thing that shows up. I know when I got born again, it's the very first thing that showed up. My brothers, I had two older brothers older than me, and they thought, you know, pick on the little guy. That was their doctrine, pick on the little guy. Amen. Now, don't look at anybody else or anything here like you. but see, I was younger, and they were, you know, they were first and second in line. And so, were they a year apart, I believe, or so, something like that, 18 months, whatever it is. And so they were, you know, they were picking on me all the time. And, man, I got so mad. And I remember one time one of them was mowing grass, riding lawnmower, and they were mowing out in front of the, there's a barn, we had the barn there, and then the fenced in area where they all stayed in there. The cattle. I'm talking about the cattle, not my brothers. But he was mowing, and I had my dad had some stuff sitting in that corner. What am I trying to say? Not the pasture, huh? Yeah, the place where the cattle stayed. And there was some stuff in that one corner. And I hid in that corner. I was so mad at them. I got me a big rock. I don't mean a little rock. I mean a rock. I mean it's one of those kind. I was so mad at my brother. He's out there mowing the grass. I hid in there. He's mowing past me. And I went, bam! I didn't intend to hit him on the head. But it hit him right on the head. Blood just streaming down. I'm like, oh, no. I took off for my life. I ran, man. I was like, I'm in trouble now. He's going right into the house. To get that cleaned up, Mama's going to say, what happened to you? And he's not going to say, I fell off the lawnmower. He's going to tell the truth. But anyway, that's what was in me. I hated him. I wasn't born again. Few months before, my sister had said after church, she came home from church. We all came home from church. My parents said, now go upstairs and change your clothes. You know, you get your church clothes off, get your family clothes on, your everyday clothes. So go upstairs. And I'll never forget it. My sister stood there. We were right at the bottom of the steps. And my sister stood there and she started crying. My parents said, go up and get your, all of us, go up and get your clothes changed. My sister stood there and started crying. And my mama said, what is it? She said, that sermon this morning, I want to be saved. The pastor preached. And I want to get saved. And I'll never forget it. Right there at the bottom of the steps, my parents grabbed hands with my sister, and they led her to the Lord and prayed the salvation prayer. Now, as soon as they prayed with her, it dawned on me I wasn't saved. That's the first time I realized I need to get saved. But I stand there and I said, Mama, I want to get saved too. They thought, no, just going upstairs, change clothes. They didn't know I was old enough to understand. They just thought I'm trying to be like my sister. And I went up and they said, no, just going upstairs and you'll understand someday. They didn't realize I had just understood for the first time. And so I went up those steps, and I mean, it was dark. Not physically. But spiritually, the lights went out. I knew I needed to be saved for the first time in my life. I don't know how old it was. 8, 7, something like that. I'd have to look it up. But I knew I needed to be saved, but I didn't. And now the lights went out. That's when I died spiritually. I never forget it. Remember Paul said, I was alive unto Christ once, sin revived, and I died. He didn't die physically. He said, spirit, when he came to the age of accountability, when he knew that he needed to be saved and wasn't and didn't do it, he said he died. And when I went up those steps, the lights, the spiritual light went out and I died. And I was spiritually dead for, I think, 2 years. I'd have to look it up, something like that. But in that period of times when I threw that rock, I hated my brothers. Amen. Cain killed Abel because he's full of hate. What do we got to do to solve this hate problem in America? Get people born again. Get people born again. Because as soon as I got born again, I hated my brothers. I mean, I hated them. But I never forget it. When I got born again, because I eventually did, I couldn't take it anymore. I cried myself to sleep almost every night. I mean, just wanting to be saved, but wanting to get back in fellowship. See, as a child, I was in fellowship with God. But I was wanting to get back in fellowship with God. My little spirit's estranged from God. And so I'm crying myself to sleep. One night I got up a couple of nights I got up a little bit of boldness. I went to the bottom of the steps and looked over there to see if Mom and Daddy's still down there. I wanted to go tell them I wanted to get saved. And I lost my boldness, went back upstairs, cried myself to sleep. Parents, don't ever tell your kids they don't understand. I mean, even if they don't, pray with them anyhow. Just in case they do enough to before God. One night I said, I can't take it anymore. And I looked, I came to the bottom of the steps and I looked. Sure enough, they're still there. I tiptoed my way in and kind of looked behind the bookcase, looked around into the kitchen. And I said, I'm going on in. I went in, I started crying. I said, Mom, I'm almost crying right now just thinking about it. I said, Mom, I want to get saved. And I knelt right there. There's a bow window. And you know what a bow window is? There's a bow window, a little seat there. I knelt right by that bow window. My daddy got out of his recliner. My mama came and knelt beside me and I got born again. Hallelujah. Boy, the weight of the world rolled away. And I'll never forget it. My brothers, the moment I got born again, they turned into the most beautiful brothers. Wonderful. I mean, I loved them. Why? Because we know we've passed from death unto life. Because we love the brethren. That's the first thing that shows up. First thing that shows up. Well, Pastor, we need to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, Romans 13 is where we turn. Do you got it? Look what it says here. A lot of small wars fought over whether the church needs to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, notice what he said here. Romans 13, verse number 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. He that loves another hath fulfilled the law. Now, that law is the Old Testament, those old Ten Commandments. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. That's in the Ten Commandments. I had rocks, so I was on my way for that. I was going to do that. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Right there's one. We got a lot of bearing false witness in our culture today. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. These are all the Ten Commandments, aren't they? And if there be any other commandment, and there are, any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember, there was a time, one time, somebody asked Jesus, yeah, because Jesus brought this up over in one of the Gospels. They said, yeah, but who's my neighbor? They thought they'd get around it that way. Boy, if you live by me, I got to love you. But if you're three streets down, you're in trouble. You know what I'm talking about? And Jesus gave him a parable about a Samaritan that you know, got in trouble on his journey, and a Jew came by. And Samaritans and Jews were mortal enemies. You know, they were not friendly countries. And Jesus said, you know, and this Jew went past, and he didn't do anything, and then somebody else. And so finally somebody, and he's talking about just anybody you come in contact with, that's your neighbor. Amen. 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 You know, you got to watch getting all caught up with everything the news is saying. Absolutely. I remember whenever we went over to Russia, for example. I mean, as far as countries, Russia and U.S. have not been friends for a long. I mean, more so now, but still it's kind of, you know, just tolerating one another. But, you know, we went over there to preach. And those are lovely people. You know, it's just politics. It's not about people. It's politics. You understand what I'm talking about? And so anyway, you know, there's a lot that has to be said. But notice Jesus here said, or first this passage in Romans, it says, look at the end of verse number 9. He said, any other commandments briefly comprehended this thing, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 10. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Now, ill means harm or something bad. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Woo. In other words, if I walk in love, notice verse number 9, thou shalt not commit adultery. If I walk in love, I won't commit adultery. Now, I'm talking about the God kind of love. If I walk in the God kind, the God kind of love doesn't work any ill towards anybody. Adultery works ill to somebody. Number one, your spouse. Number two, their spouse. Number three, themselves. Number four, you. The love works no ill. Well, if I walk in love, I won't commit adultery. If I walk in love with you, I won't kill you. If I walk in love, I won't steal from you. If I walk in love, I won't bear false witness against you. Isn't that right? I won't covet your stuff. See, the love of God, if I walk in the love of God. See, a lot of people want to live down on a carnal level and keep commandments. Rather than come up and live out of a new nature that we got when we got born again. The new nature is love. Well, I can't love like that. I just don't have that kind of love. Well, somebody's lying about it. Because God said the love of God, when you got born again, that love shed abroad in you and my heart. It's in there. Yeah, but I know I don't have it. Well, see, you're living so much in the flesh, you're more conscious of the feelings of unforgiveness and ill will and hatred and offense and bitterness and, you know, so forth. You're more conscious of your feelings because, see, this love isn't shed abroad in our feelings. It's not in our flesh. I mean, your flesh will get just as riled up as it ever has.
Yeah.
If you let it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Go over there to Galatians. I want you to see something here. But that, can you see there that really when people say, well, we need to keep the Ten Commandments. Can you see that's really for people out there in the world that don't have this new nature? That's really not for any man that's born again. Remember, you're going to Galatians chapter number 5, or chapter number 6 actually is where it is. But you remember Galatians chapter number 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. In other words, if I do all of that, I don't have to keep a law. I'm living out of my nature. Now, not the nature of my flesh. My flesh still has the nature of a sinner. Yours does too. Your flesh wasn't redeemed. I mean, you were redeemed from sickness and disease, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the nature of sin. That your flesh still has the nature of sin in there. Just like mine. I can haul off and hit you if I really feel like it. I mean, if I let myself go, I could do it. Amen. You ever gotten real mad and you just wanted to throw something? Yeah, but you have to crucify that flesh. Amen. You have to crucify it. Because how do you do that? The Bible said in Romans chapter number 8, I think it's verse number 13, you and I, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body.
That's right, yeah.
Mortify the deeds of the body. You got to do it through the help of the greater one, the Holy Spirit, and live out of that nature. Now, remember somebody said, well, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. No, it's the fruit of the born-again human spirit. Because the Holy Spirit came in, of course, and he gave you that new nature. He recreated you, made you a new person. But remember, Jesus said in John 15, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he said, my Father's the husbandman. And he said, every branch in me that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, purges it, they might bring forth more fruit. Every branch that bears not fruit, he takes it away. Now, you ever going out to an apple tree, you ever going out to some kind of fruit-bearing vine or tree, the fruit never grows on the trunk of the tree.
That's true.
Or the trunk of the grapevines come up. They grow out on the branches. And he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Every branch in me that brings forth fruit, I purge it. So the fruit of the Spirit, see, in the Greek, there's no capital letters. So we don't know if that Spirit is Holy Spirit or human spirit. But yet when you read John 15, you know, he's talking about the human spirit because that's where fruit grows. It grows on the branch and we are the branches.
Yes, sir.
We are the branches. But see, we've got to abide in him, maintain that connection with him.
Yeah.
And it grows on us not because of some intuitive nature of our own, but because of our connection, our divine connection to that vine.
Yes. Yeah.
And the life of Christ that comes out of that vine into us. And maintaining a good connection with him on that will keep us walking in love. And our love fruit, rather than be just a little bud on the end of the branch that's really not blessing anybody, begins to grow. And grow and grow. How many of you know the more fruit grows on a tree, the more that fruit will bless more people? I'm telling you, for our sake, please grow in love. For your sake, I'm going to grow in love. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But see, now notice here in Galatians 6, look at verse number 15. There, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, which was just something that happened in the flesh, but a new creature. In other words, a new creation. How many of you know that new creation of any man be in Christ? He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then he said in verse number 16 here. Okay, let's read verse 15 again. In Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Let's put it that way. Creation, it helps us understand it. I mean, I think some people look like creatures, but anyway, we're talking about the new creation. I'm just walking in love with you now, and it doesn't sound like it. Verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule. What rule? Well, another translation says, the new creation, as many as, let's see here, I've got the Amplified here somewhere, govern their conduct by this principle. The Amplified says, I believe. Is that right, Zach? I think I got the Amplified there. That govern their conduct by this principle of the new creation. He's talking about the principle of the new creation. In other words, do we govern our conduct by the Ten Commandments? Christians govern their conduct by this new nature. If I govern my conduct by the new nature, I walk in love. Because that's what happened when I passed from death unto life. And you will too.
Yes, sir.
You have to pinch yourself, see if it's really you, because there's a whole brand new you.
Yeah.
You used to get all fussy and huffy. And
yeah, come on.
Right.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. But here you are walking in love, zipping the lip, working no ill towards anybody, believing the best of other people rather than believing the worst.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's remember the resume of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Amen. I'm going to emphasize this more in my life. I don't know if you ever noticed that. I noticed this. Ministers who become more seasoned, they start emphasizing this more. I remember Brother Hagin used to always emphasize it. I know recently, in more recent years, Brother Copeland emphasizes it real strong. Talks about walking in love all the time. But you start growing up and you start realizing the importance of it.
Amen. Amen.
Well, faith is important. Yeah, it's important, but if you don't walk in love according to the Word of God, it'll affect your faith.
Yes, sir.
Can't hold unforgiveness against people and
Come on.
Receive all the blessings of God.
That's right. That's true.
Yeah, but you don't know how wrong they did me. Well, did God put it on a scale and say when he, because we love as he loved us.
Yeah.
For God's, the Bible said God loved us in such a way that while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That love wasn't dependent on how they treated. The love that God has for us wasn't dependent on how we treated him. It was dependent on the nature that he was love. And so he didn't have a scale and said, now, if you're just kind of a good sinner, you know, maybe just tell little white lies and don't do nobody murdered and nobody, you know, no banks were stolen from. And but you're just a good little sinner. Then I love you. But oh, now you get over into this and that and the other. And I just can't forgive you for that. God doesn't have any scale. In fact, his word says in James, if we are guilty of one point of breaking the law, we're guilty of the whole thing. So he doesn't have a scale. Well, I just told a little white lie. Well, you're guilty of murder. You're guilty of stealing. You're guilty of all kinds of stuff. You're guilty of homosexuality, guilty of adultery, guilty of fornication, guilty of lust, guilty. Ooh. Well, I can forgive them for little things, but those big things. Well, let me just kind of remind you of a verse. Remember Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24? Have faith in God. Whoever say to this mountain, be removed, be thou cast in the sea, no doubt in his heart, believe those things which he says come to pass, or have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. Period. And we always stop right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. But Jesus didn't stop there. Remember? He said, therefore.
Therefore.
Come on. Therefore. When you stand praying. So he's talking about what he just talking about. Talking about using your faith in prayer. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have, what's that next word? If you have what?
Ought.
What's ought mean?
Offenses.
Ought means anything.
Amen.
If you have anything.
That's good.
Yeah. That's
good. Against anybody.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Anything.
Ooh, Lord Jesus. I don't hope I don't paint myself in a corner this morning. I'll just keep looking at you as if I'm not guilty, you know, just if you have aught, that means anything.
Yeah.
I guess any person. Anybody.
Yeah.
What's he say to do?
Yeah.
Forgive.
Yeah.
Forgive.
Yeah.
But you don't know how bad they did me.
Uh-huh.
Don't have to know how bad they
exactly.
did you. Just practice the Bible.
Yep.
Amen. Yep.
This is why a lot of Christians are sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm convinced.
Yes, sir.
Ought means big, middle-sized, or little.
Yeah.
Just a little irritations.
Yes.
Just a little.
Yep.
Somebody cut you off in traffic. Where'd you get your driver's license anyhow? Walmart?
Come on.
While you're down there, why don't you get yourself a personality? You know what I'm saying? I've had the Lord deal with me about those little things. You know, sometimes we forget as Christians. We forget what pressure people are living under. And the hell that's going on in their lives. And the stuff and they're living under all that. We forget sometimes because we don't experience as much of that. We have things oppose us, but I mean, you know, you hear some of the stories people are going through stuff. And if you look at some of that, you can be compassionate on them.
Yes.
Rather than, you know, where'd you get your driver's license?
Yeah, seriously.
How many have ever thought about that? I remember one time that I told you this story. It'll bear repeating. Brother Hagin told stories over and over. I get blessed every single time. We worked those years there in healing school. And I remember the one we were on a voluntary basis. We were working there. But we were working there a lot. We did a lot of teaching in the mornings. I think it got to be every other week in the mornings. But it started out every 3 or 4 weeks. We would do the whole week in the a.m., teach all morning, all the morning sessions in the healing school there, Kenneth Hagin Ministries. So, you know, we got to know the other volunteers. There was, you know, teams of us, different teams, different people come at different days and so forth. So, and you get to know them because some days you'd be responsible to, you know, run the back of the room. And you weren't preaching, but then they were preaching. So you get to know them. And so we got to, you know, develop friendships and, you know, got to know people. And so there are other teams and people there became, you know, we'd have Christmas parties together and stuff like that. Get to know them. And so we got to know them, this one lady in particular. And I don't know if she's always sweet. I don't know. She's single, but maybe, I don't know, 5-7 years older than us, something like that. No, actually, probably more like 10 years older than us. Anyway, she's a single lady. And I'll never forget. She's always sweet. We had fellowship together. In fact, she lived in an apartment not far from us, Pastor Debbie and I. And so we, you know, just get have some fellowship. And she's always sweet. But she came in one day. We were teaching. I was responsible to teach that day. She came on in one day, and boy, she had a burr under her collar. It's like, good morning, how are you? And boy, it's just rough. Uh-huh. I mean, and you say, okay, well, then could you take care of this and take care of that? Because you got things you got to do, but you got things they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
She's just gripey. You know. You know, Pastor Debbie and I were doing that to each other in the car this morning, just out of fun. She said something, and I went. She laughed, and I was glad she laughed. But I'm like, when this lady that morning in healing school did that, I'm like, whoa, that's not like her, you know. And another, before the service, another encounter with her to talk to her about something, I got the same response. It's like, man, what is up with her? And you know, how many of you know when other people get in the flesh, it has a way of trying to pull you into the flesh? Yeah, boy, that's just, you got to watch it. When other people get in the flesh, you know, that you don't jump in the same pool of flesh, you know. Amen. I mean, if everybody else is drinking strychnine, I'm not going to jump in and drink strychnine just because it looks like they're having fun. Husbands and wives, you could learn that. Boy, it takes some spiritual strength sometimes. Somebody else is jumping into the flesh. That lady that morning, I mean, she started yielding to that flesh like that. I'm talking back there in healing school. And boy, my old flesh. Oh,
yeah.
Some of you looking at me like I'm too sanctified. I don't do that.
No.
I'm going to ask your neighbor to just haul off and smack you in the face right now and see how it works. And they'll just, no, I'm just kidding. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Brother and sister sitting up here, you know. They've been waiting for a chance. The pastor said, you know. So, I mean, she's yielding to the flesh, that lady in healing school days. And you know, I'm going to be preaching here in a few minutes. But that I mean, my flesh is going, huh? I thought, I got to get away. I got to. And I went back to the hall. There's a book, kind of a, they stored some extra books back there that they sold in healing school. And I went back in there and closed in that book storage room and closed the door and locked it. And I said, now I'm going to, you know, pray. I don't want to be in the flesh. So I start praying. And then I start praying for her. I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I pray for her. I don't know why she's acting this way. I wasn't praying, Lord, get her or anything like that. I just, how many of you know that's working ill towards them. I want to be a part of people's answers, not a part of the problem. Let me tell you what a part of the problem includes. You're not walking in love.
I know, right? That ain't it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Bible said, I don't know if we can go there or not. Bible said the love of God believes the best of every person. So rather than judge them like, you're not walking in love. That's not right. You treating me that way. That's not. Believe the best. Here's one of the ways I learned to do that. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm learning to do that. Because I got to praying for her, and I didn't expect God to reveal this to me or talk to me about her. But while I'm praying for her, God gave me a word of knowledge. I wasn't asking for that, but he gave me a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is a supernatural knowledge, certain facts and things in the mind of God concerning the past or the present. Listen in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Remember, word of knowledge, God, we're one given by the Spirit. But the word of knowledge came to me, and the Lord, all of a sudden, I just saw, I don't know if I would call it a vision, but I just had an inner picture. I saw the whole thing on the inside. It's revelation knowledge. And what I saw was that night before, this was, I don't know what day it was, but the night before, that I saw her and her boyfriend, because they were engaged, that she was engaged to be married, but she wasn't married yet. And her boyfriend, I saw last night, her and her boyfriend had a big argument. And I think it was him, broke off the engagement. And, you know, it was a rough night. The night before was a rough night. When I was praying for her and saw that, all of a sudden, my irritation turned to compassion. And I realized where she's coming from. And I just started weeping. I said, oh, God, I see it. I had them. And, you know, forgive me for thinking judgmental thoughts of her.
Yeah.
Amen. How many of you know love doesn't judge?
That's right.
I think if we just sometimes think about, maybe that person's going through something I can't even imagine right now.
Yeah.
Believe the best.
Yes. Amen.
Not the worst.
Yep.
Well, I knew they were no good Christian anyhow. You know what I'm talking about? I knew they was a hypocrite. Look at them. They're not acting like a Christian. I knew there was probably some kind of sin in their life. I'm telling you. And just believe in the worst.
Yeah.
Believe in the worst.
Yeah.
No, believe the best.
Amen.
Believe the best. What is believing the best? Well, they might have gone through something real tough and that's, you know, just rough on them. And pray for them.
Amen.
And I got that word of knowledge and I'm like, oh, and I started weeping and started praying for her. And it came out after the service. That's exactly what happened. And I thought to myself, I want to learn to be compassionate on people, not judge them. I want to learn to be a part of their answer, not a part of the problem. I've done it the wrong way before. Anybody else done it the wrong way and become part of the problem rather than a part of their solution?
Yes, sir.
Remember the Bible said, anyone in Galatians, you know, go over there. I'm not preaching by notes this morning. I'm just preaching as the Lord leads me. Galatians here. Notice how it says something in chapter 6. Brother, verse number 1. Brethren, if any be overtaken in a fault. Well, I saw this lady in a fault. Anybody overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Be a part of their answer. Be a part of helping restore them. Well, one thing that will help restore them is compassion on them rather than judging them. Or another thing that will help restore them, and this is all the love walk, according to 1 Corinthians 13. But another thing that helped restore them is believe the best rather than believe the worst. Sometimes husbands and wives get off, you know, yielding to unforgiveness or, you know, different manifestations of not something that's not love, you know, bitterness, holding something against their spouse. You know, I went through a hard time because of this and you put me through it kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
And they believe the worst rather than believe the best. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Believe the worst rather than believe the best. In other words, you're no good husband. I don't know. You just believe the worst rather than believe what the Bible said about them.
Yeah.
That love's in there. That love of God shed abroad in their heart.
Amen.
I know they got that in there. They're born again.
Yeah.
And use what you believe regarding the best that's in them to pull the best out of them.
Amen.
Amen. Be a part of the solution rather than part of the problem. Part of the problem is you believe the worst and you tell them what you believe. You know, that's why some children don't turn out right. Because they kept being told you're never going to amount to anything. I mean, look at you. You won't obey your parents and they're just getting smacked around rather than loved. Somebody needs to believe in them. Children need somebody to believe in them. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. That's the goal, is restoring them. Restore them to fellowship with God. Restore them to fellowship with other people. Restore them to fellowship with the church. Whatever restoration needs to take place. And you know, you get to looking at the body of Christ, and you can get discouraged if you're not careful. Because rather than do that, you know, when somebody's down, we just stick the last sword in them, you know, and finish them off rather than. Amen. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. Somebody said, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we restore people? The answer is in that verse. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. If there were any people that were spiritual, they would restore rather than. Amen. Now, I've tried to restore some people that didn't want to be restored, but that's a whole nother deal. You understand what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor the word of God's still true, whether you like it or not. The flesh doesn't want to restore people. The flesh wants to kick them.
Yeah.
And the flesh wants to talk about them. Let me go back there. 1 Corinthians 13. One of the manifestations of the love of God, according to 1 Corinthians 13, and especially in the Amplified, King James doesn't bring it out as clearly, but the Amplified just does that. The Amplified amplifies it. There's a lot of Greek words that you can't translate into one English word, because the Greek is a very rich language, and sometimes it takes more than one word to translate it enough, sufficiently. And that's what the Amplified does. I love the classic Amplified. And so, but King James here, let's see here. Let me pull this up in the Amplified. I'll just read it. How many of you want to hear what love's resume is? Amen. Talking about love. This is, you know, the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. Somebody said, am I walking in love? Well, then just ask, are you doing this? If I'm doing this, I'm walking in love. Verse 4 in the Amplified. Love endures long. And while it endures, it's unkind about it. Keeps reminding people, I'm putting up with you now. No, it endures long and is patient and kind. I like to say at the same time. In other words, people are putting up with others all right, but they're reminding them how much of a sorry person they are. I'm putting up with pretty sorry folk around here. I'm telling you what. No, you got to be patient and kind. You know God's putting up with all of us. You know, a long time ago, he could have said, I'm done with this. Smack. Bzz, just wipe them out. He's putting up with all of us. Think about the love of God. Anybody in here glad that he's still putting up with you? Because there's been times I've said to the Lord, I said, thank you for... Thank you for being patient while I'm getting this. Because, you know, every now and then I get to thinking I'm a humdinger. Do you know what I mean by that? Woo, man. Look, spiritually, I'm talking about. Spiritually. Look at me. Oh, yeah. Humdinger. And then all of a sudden, either through the Lord or through the Lord and my wife helping me, I realize I'm not a humdinger, I'm just a dinger. Amen. Yeah. There was this joke one time, a man who thought he was all that and a bag of chips, you know. He was a young preacher. He's real young and full of pride. He thought he's full of himself. And after he's done preaching, he's in this church down in Louisiana, down there, and preaching. And this older lady in the church got up and gave a prophecy after he's done preaching. Started out something like this. Thou thinkest that thou art a humdinger. But thus saith the Lord, thou art not a humdinger, thou art only a dinger. How many of you know the Lord speaks in different ways through different people? Amen. Amen. Down south, the Lord has a southern accent, you know. He's just... All right. Where were we before you distracted me like that? Okay, they're talking about love. Love endures long and is patient and kind. At the same time, love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. Boy, whew. I'm trying to get to certain things, so I'm not going to spend time on that. Not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. A lot there about pride. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly. Does not act unbecomingly. Remember we were talking about winning your spouse in the marriage conference. That's unbecoming actions and attitudes and words. Don't win them. It pushes them away. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. There's a whole series of sermons right there. That's talking about selfishness. For it is not self-seeking. Natural human love is. That's what human love is. It's just selfishness. Then he said, but this divine love's not. It's not self-seeking. Don't think about what's best for you, thinking about what's best for the person you're walking in love with. It is not touchy. Oh my. Or fretful or resentful. That's something I've had to watch out. I'm convinced the older I get, I'm convinced I've seen other people, you know, it's not everybody that grows older that gets this way, but you've seen people get older and get grouchy, get negative on everybody and negative on everything. That's because they've been hurt and abused and hit on and, you know, talking about people just not treating them right and so forth and so on. And they get resentful. And those things build up in their spirit. I told Pastor Debbie, I said, and she agreed with me, we want to get old and still be happy.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Still be happy. Not down on everybody, negative on everybody. Well, this whole world's going to hell. These young people nowadays, I bless God, they don't have no respect. Well, why don't you teach them some respect? Amen. But anyway, I just thought of that, just looking at that resentful. You got to watch resentfulness building up on the inside. You can say, well, I forgive you, but you're still resenting that you had to go through that. You got to let all that go. Let all that go. Whew. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Ooh. Doesn't pay attention to it. How many of you know if I keep bringing up what you did to me, that's because I'm paying attention to it. I marked it down. They treated me wrong. Marking that down. Now, every time I'm around them, I remember how they treated me. Not walking in love. Whew, man, I'm trying to get to something, so I'm going to have to pass that one up. Look at verse number 6. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Oh, so much there. There could be people that you don't agree with that have things done to them that aren't even right, and you kind of secretly still glad it happened to them because of the way they treated you. And you should say, no, that's not right. No matter how they treated me, that's still not right. Love, verse number 7. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Whew. So that means it'll never get to the place where it says, I just can't take it any longer. I'm not putting up with this any longer. That's it. I've come to the end of treating you right. What did it say? Bears up under anything and everything that comes. Let's skip that next part and go down there. I'm going to come back to that next part. It endures everything without weakening. Look at verse 8. Love never fails, never fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. I've had enough. I'm not putting up with that anymore. So it's coming to an end. I just can't take it anymore. Love can. Love can. Your flesh can't, but love can. Love can. Some parents need to consider the effect that that divorce would have on their children. Huh? Think about how just because you don't want to take it anymore. What about those kids? For their sake. I'm not saying there's never a time somebody should get a divorce. I'm just simply saying people take these things too lightly. They're so quick to just quit, just give in. Never quit. Love never fails. Never fails. Say it out loud. Never fails. Never fades out or becomes obsolete. I like to say it never goes out of style. You can buy a tie in the 1970s and it'll go out of style. Won't look good today. But this never goes out of style. Amen. Walking in love never goes out of style. Woo, you're still looking good. You're still looking good. Praise the Lord. All right, let's back up. I skipped over what I wanted to finish this up with. Love, verse number 7. Bears up under anything and everything that comes. Ever ready to believe the best of every person. Hallelujah. Believes the best. Say it out loud. Believes the best.
Believes the best.
Hallelujah. Believes the best. Glory to God. Believes the best. What do you believe about that person? Huh? Say it out loud. He believes the best. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Believes the best. Now, and then notice it says, let's see here. Well, it's in Romans chapter 13. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Yeah. Got to finish up with that. I'm not done with that. Okay. Believes the best and works no ill. Yeah. So put those two together. Believes the best and works no ill. You know, sometimes things happen and We don't know exactly what motivated the person to do that. But we assume it's a certain thing. And then we go out and we tell other people. We have just believed the worst. And then, remember the Bible said, works no ill to his neighbor. Then we have worked ill towards that person by telling somebody else. And now they're believing the worst rather than believing the best. And we're in trouble with God, to be honest with you. Because we're spreading division. Working ill toward our brother. Now, when it says work ill there, you could, you know, going over to his house and burning his house down, that'd be working ill, wouldn't it? But there's other ways to work ill. How about just speaking things that put him in a bad light? That's working ill. Now that person that you spoke to has to deal with that every time they think of him or every time they see him. And besides that, it might not be true anyway. It might be just because we're believing the worst rather than believing the best. The more I grow, the more I realize it is more rare to walk in love than I realized. Because we just assume certain things and say certain things and we don't even know. Amen. Tell your neighbor, Pastor went ahead and started preaching all right now. We're just believing the worst and then working ill with that worst. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're learning to really, really actually do it. Walk in love. The Bible says the love of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constraineth us. Let me tell you one thing it'll put a constraint on. Now, I'm not sticking my tongue out at you, but I'm just pointing to my own tongue. Yeah. It'll put a constraint on that tongue.
Yes.
If there's anything God's been dealing with me over the last 2 months especially, it's my tongue. You heard me preaching on the tongue a lot lately. There's no member of your body that you're going to work ill with against somebody more than this thing right here. The Bible said this is the most unruly member. You can work ill with your fist. You can work ill with, you know. But with the tongues, the main way you're going to have to restrain this right here. Let me tell you about that sorry rascal. How they did me. How they treated me. Are you out there? You going home? So stay. Just keep saying amen. That'll help me. Hallelujah. So Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. That he that refraineth his lips is wise. So he's talking about just holding back in what we say. In other words, what's he saying? People that talk a lot, they sin a lot.
Yeah.
How many of you know you and I sin much quicker opening our mouth than we ever do keeping it shut?
Yes.
There's a time to open our mouth and speak up. I remember one time, for example, that we were sitting across, Pastor Debbie and I were preaching for particular pastors in a particular state. I won't even tell you the state. You wouldn't know them anyhow, but so we're preaching there. And I don't know what it was. This pastor's wife, we were out to eat, you know, between services, eating meals together. This pastor's wife, she just had something, some burr under her collar about a particular minister that God was using in our lives at the time, to be honest with you. And so, boy, she just talking about him, criticizing him. And, you know, I just didn't say anything. I'm not going to join in with that. I had had God deal with me too many times about that. So I said, I didn't say anything. And it went on and on and on. And I don't know, it happened a couple different meals or something. And so, finally, somebody asked me, what do you, I don't remember if it was the husband or her or some, she asked me, what do you think about all that? I had had enough. Talking about my pastor.
Come on.
I said, I just wish you would shut up. And that's exactly, did I say it exactly like that? Did I emphasize it more in this service than I did with her? Nope. I just wish you'd shut up. Boy, But there's a time to keep your lips shut, and there's a time to open them.
Yes, sir.
I don't remember what all I said after that, but I think the message got across. I don't know. They never invited us to come back and preach again for some reason. Amen. There's a time to stand up and say, now, you don't talk like that about my pastor. You don't talk that way about my mama, or you don't talk that way about my family. You just need to. Amen. But see, and I asked the Lord later, I said, Lord, if I got in the flesh, I'll repent to her as quick as I can get back to see her. But I just didn't have, nothing was bothering me in my spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You got to analyze those things, don't you? Anyhow, tell your neighbor you sin quicker opening your mouth than you ever will keeping it shut. Amen. What's it mean to refrain your tongue? It means to zip it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody's still happy, right? Hallelujah. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Think about, before you say that, how is this going to affect the one I'm talking about? And then how is this going to affect the one I'm telling when it comes to their relationship? Brother Hagin said he pastored for a number of years. He said he knew how people are, Christians are, how they can, you know, shine in church and then live like the devil sometimes during the week. Yeah. Not everybody. It's just wrong to think everybody lives that way, but just sometimes that way. And he said he and Mr. Reith would never talk about it in front of the children. Because sometimes you got to talk to work, decide how we're going to deal with this and so forth. So it's not like you're talking about them, but sometimes you got to deal with certain things. So he said they would never talk about it in front of the children. He said because they never talked critically about any of these things, or anybody talked about anybody's issues in front of the children. He said the children all thought everybody in the church was growing, sprouting wings. Didn't know those were just shoulder blades back there. They thought they were sprouting wings. See, you get to talking critically in front of some people, especially baby Christians, it'll turn them off and turn them away from church. Yeah. Yeah. We had a lady one time came through. We greeted at the end of the service, and this lady, brand new, came through and just loved the church and was really getting a lot of help. And I don't remember how many services, maybe only two or three services, her being here. She said, she came through to greet, and she said, this church is amazing. I said, well, I believe so, but what do you mean? I said, and she said, well, nobody knows. I said, no, nobody, what? Nobody knows what? And she went on to tell me, standing there in the line, I didn't ask her. I mean, I was asking her, but I didn't know I was asking her about all this. I asked her, I said, what are you talking about? She said, you know, all these bad relationships I've had and all the divorces I've been through and all the problems I've had. And she said, and I've told several people, you know, here in this church, but it's not spreading around. The whole church doesn't know. Nobody knows. I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. In fact, if you hadn't have told me, I wouldn't have known. I said, no, this is a safe place here. This is not a gossip center. You know what I'm talking about? Talking about everybody's sin, everybody's failures. Well, this person, oh, you hear what they did this week? Oh, now, staff might have to deal with it because of, you know, there's certain, you know, standards for helps ministry and so forth. But but we're trying to keep people, and we're trying to restore people.
Amen.
That's what love does.
Amen.
Glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Be to God.
Hallelujah.
That's what I want. Anybody else want that?
Yeah.
If I ever get in the problem, I need some restoration. I want somebody to love me, not somebody to kick me when I'm down. Believes the best. Believes that's not really you that did that. The real you is the one that's got the nature of God on the inside of you. Now, let's get together and let's get you back up and let's get you cleaned off and let's get you restored. And you, God's got a plan for your life. Let's get on with the plan of God. We'll forgive this and forget this just like God, because you're repentant, and we'll just go on as if it never happened.
Amen.
People get amazed sometimes. They come into a counseling meeting and they spill their guts. You know what I mean by that? This is going on, that's going on, and they think, oh my goodness, I don't even want to face Pastor now. He knows it all about it. When they see us on Sunday morning, we act like we never even talked. Because that's not the real you. I believe the best.
Yes.
The best. Tell your neighbor, we believe the best. Glory be to God. I said, we believe the best. And we don't work ill towards anybody by spreading it around. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, if I told you all last night I robbed the bank, then you'd all have to deal with it, wouldn't you? So I'm not going to tell you about all that money I got last night robbing that bank. Amen. No, we're not trying to hide, you know, sin per se. But the Bible does say love covers a multitude of sin.
Amen.
And I didn't rob a bank, just in case you're wondering. Praise the Lord. So what does it mean, love covers? It means it doesn't expose it. I love something Oral Roberts said one time. Some ministers back in the 80s felt, came out all over the news, and somebody, Brother Roberts, Oral Roberts, was doing a meeting somewhere, and some news guy came and stuck a microphone and a camera in Brother Roberts' face. Say, what do you think about it? He said, that's a family matter. I don't talk about it on the news.
Amen.
Oh, I love that. That's maturity. That's somebody that has gotten beat up themselves a whole lot of times. You know, if you have somebody in your family that commits adultery or something, you don't go to the news first of all and say, all right, where's the news? I want to tell everybody that this happened.
No,
you don't go out and expose it. You just restore them. Amen. Tell your neighbor, we're learning about walking in love. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. Stand up with me. Brother Hagin told stories sometimes how pastors treated him. He's a traveling minister. They wouldn't feed him anything. One time went 3 days and the pastor didn't even offer him a meal. Pastor Debbie and I looked at one another and I admire his love walk, but maybe you and I probably would have asked if we could have got something to eat, you know. But Brother Hagin didn't even do that.
Yeah.
I guess I'm still growing. He's arrived more. You know. But anyhow. And he said he wanted to pick up the phone and call the superintendent over all those pastors. Say, what kind of pastors you got down here anyhow? We haven't eaten for 3 days. He said he went to dial the phone number and he said, no, I can't do it. Put the phone back down. That happened twice. And his wife said, did you call? No, I couldn't do it. Something in here wouldn't let me do it. I'd be working ill toward that man. And nobody does stuff like that's going to treat people like that's going to last in the ministry anyhow. But Brother Hagin always said, I'm not going to contribute to their downfall myself. Amen. How many of you know some people aren't going to make it?
That's right.
Because if they don't walk in love, they're not going to make it. But let's not be the reason they don't make it.
Amen.
Get on the news. Get to tell everybody in the church.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Love. Say love.
Love.
Works no ill.
Works no ill.
To his neighbor.
To his neighbor.
Love.
Love.
Believes the best.
Believes the best.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God. I've probably done some things that would have been disqualifying in the times past. You've done some things that would have disqualified you in the times past. I mean, this is public knowledge, so I'm not talking about him. He talks about it all the time. Brother Randy Greer murdered a policeman. Boy, that's a disqualifier right there. You just can't be in the ministry. Except he was and is. God's blessing him. So we believe the best. Let God work with people and get them back on track. Praise the Lord. Glory.
Glory.
I mean, Paul killed people.
Yes,
David committed, you know, murder and adultery. Amen. Some of God's brightest bulbs in his chandelier, in our mind, don't seem like the brightest bulbs in his chandelier. But he restored them. Praise God.